Lady Shir and Derech Hashem, Wednesday, Essays, December 27th. It's the 25th Shir and Derech Hashem, Section 1, Perek 5, Paragraph 4.
So we established till now, this is very important principles, Kabbalistic in the sense that, you know, we look at this world and we see this is the real world. This is the world we're able to see with our senses. This is the world we're able to feel and see and hear. But the real action of this world and what happens in this world is all controlled by spiritual forces. Every item has a spiritual force. That is really the item is really its spiritual force. It's just in this world, in this physical, mundane world, it appears like a chair, like a shtendel, like a person, like a blade of grass, like a tooth, like an arm, like a building. Everything has a spiritual force, and it's linked, the bottom and the top, the earth and the shemayim, so to speak, are linked like with a chain, but it's more than just link, it's a ripple effect. And it just gets more and more gashmi as we come down to this world. And also every event. The event takes place in Shemayim. The event takes place in the world of Ruchnius. And we really just experience the ripple effect of that Ruchniusic upheaval. Or it doesn't have to be an upheaval. It doesn't have to be something major, major, major. It could be you passed the test, to be that you were successful in anything you did, to be that you went to the dentist. It's hard for us to imagine, we don't realize it, but everything has its ruchniyistic counterpart, and not just counterpart, but the other end of the link of the chain, and an action happens in Shemayim, and then it ripples, and ends up taking place for Oretz. Let's say if you learn Chavis Alvod Shara Bitachon, or even people that don't learn it, but you know, people like to say, they don't realize what it means, but even good people, Ma'aminim, so they say, you know, we have to have Bitachon, Hashem decides what's going to be, and we just have to do Hishtadlus, and Hashem goes through what's going to be. So that's very hard to incorporate and integrate and internalize, but we work on that. In the Ramchal, it's like not so hard. Why? Because it's much more complicated than Hashem is making a gzeira for everything, and I'm just doing Hishtadlus. I'm doing Hishtadlus is really, it's all a ripple effect. It's actually happening, it already happened, it's happening in Shemayim. Everything's happening in Shemayim, that's where it's happening. And everything down here is just playing out. We're puppets on a string, the string is pulling and making motions, and we're just dancing to its tune. When you have the imagery of the Ramchal, so then you realize the futility. And then you get more of a question, so why should I do anything if I'm just a puppet? And then the answer is, because Hashem was Gozer, we have to do things. But it's easier, I think, to visualize that we're really not the cause of the result. I'm not going to become even a shekel richer than Hashem decided for me. I'm not going to be any more successful. It's not going to happen a day earlier, it's not going to happen a day later, it's going to happen when it's going to happen. So, okay, But according to the Ramchal, it's easier to have that image because it already happened. And that's where it happened. It didn't happen down here. We're just playing out in the physical world whatever happened in Shemayim, whatever forces were ascendant, whatever forces were successful. Who decides success and failure in the upper world? Hashem. Hashem runs history, but he created this link. So Hashem doesn't, so to speak, stretch his hand out, I'll call it, and make an army victorious. It's the sire of one country that's victorious in Shemayim over the sire of a different country, and then it has its ripple. Like, those are big things. Every blade of grass and everything. It's hard to imagine when you make the bus. Everything has its counterpart in Shemayim, and we're being puppeteered by spiritual forces. Vihinei, it's a Dalit, Lefishorosef, according to this principle, Tchilas Kal Havoyos, the source of all things, is Lamala, the Kochos HaYonim, the source of the chair, the source of a shtender, the source of a grass, of a tree, of a city, of anything is Lamala. There's a whole world up there. Not only is there a world, just one example of hundreds and thousands and millions. The law of gravity has its spiritual counterpart also. We don't know what it is. We can imagine what it is. Because we can't imagine Shemayim. We can't imagine most spirituality. We can't imagine spirituality. So you say, down here, I could relate to it. I know there's up and there's down, and there's a force of gravity, or there's a magnetic force, forces in the world that are physical. These are all physical. The fact that we can't see them doesn't make them spiritual. They can be measured, and they can be felt, and they can be perceived. So that's physical. But they have a spiritual counterpart. You don't know. People that maybe are no more learned in Kabbalah would be able to describe to you what the third law of thermodynamics, Clay's Newton's third law, what that is in Shemayim, what's the spiritual force that's making that happen? What's the spiritual force that creates a magnetic field? What's the spiritual force that creates gravity, created in the sense of being its spiritual counterpart? So everything is really happening with Mala. It is a very good Sabitachon, because it makes you realize how powerless we are, and how nothing is really under our control. So if you just learn about bitachon, it's harder to internalize. This is what I feel. It's harder to internalize, of course. But if you see that the Ramchal opens up the whole world, he opens up the curtain, and you see, it's like opening up, it's like in the Wizard of Oz, you open up the curtain, you see who's really pulling on the strings. Something's it's not. Someone's pulling the strings. Those are the real puppets. He reveals the strings of the player, and that's what Ramchal does. So you say, oh, that's the way it is. So you don't even feel that. You don't even feel foolish. You don't even feel like you have to believe it. Like if Chaim Salov is saying, like, you have to believe it, but when you learn Ramchal, you have to believe Ramchal too. But the point is, he gives you the whole world. He says, this is what's happening. You imagine when they discovered gravity. Until then, what did people think? I don't know what they thought. They thought things fall to the ground. Then you learn that there's a force, and this is all physical, mind you. There's a force that pushes it to the ground, and you can't stop that force. There's nothing you can do about that force. It's a force of the universe. You go, wow. You feel that much more of a point, you feel that much more helpless, that you're at the mercy of these forces. So certainly when this is, we feel that way. But his point isn't to dazzle us with this link, which I think is a tremendous help for Bitachon, and for the feeling that Hashem is in control of everything. That's what I think. But it's not even his main point, I don't think. His main point is the next point, the exception to the rule. So he says things are really in Elyonim, the Sofam Lamata Bisholim. V'chein Tchilas Kol HaEnyonim HaMeschachim. That's events, things that occur, things that happen. A second ago they hadn't happened, so they didn't exist. Now something happened. L'mala, it happened l'mala. Hashem let this malach be ascendant over that malach, whether it's the Holocaust, or the Churban Beis HaMikdash, or Binyan Beis HaMikdash, or Medina Israel being formed. Anything that happens has its spiritual force l'mala. The soul from l'mata, and ripple effect, then more and more physical, more physical, more physical, more physical, more physical, down to our world, which we can sense things with our five senses, and even things that we can't sense, but they're still physical, like sounds that we can't hear, but a dog can hear it, things that we can't feel, because we're not sensitive enough to feel, a dog can smell, if a rabbit passed by 5 minutes ago, with us, that's magic, but we can't. Okay, Omnam Prat Echad, but there's one specific thing, one specific angle. Yesh, Sheyotzim and Akfal Dozeh. There's an exception to the rule I just gave you. Wuhu, Mashinam Geya, Lebechirasa Shalom. And Bechira, remember, means good and evil. Tov and Ra, doesn't mean anytime you make a choice. Ki kivan sherotza ha'odon yizbarach shmo sheyia yecholos la'odon livcho b'meshe yirtu min ha'tovu min ha'ra. This is how the Ramchal puts it, how does he explain it? Because Hashem wanted a person to have bechira. Now we know that that's an understatement. He more than wanted him to have bechira, the whole purpose of the creation of the universe, the whole purpose of creation. The whole purpose of Hashem having created anything at all, including existence itself, is so that there be a person who is a bocher and can be the beneficiary of Hashem's rachman and tova in the fullest degree possible. That's what we've been learning about in this section. So it's more than what's so wanted, it's the purpose and the goal. But listen how he says it. He says, so it wouldn't make sense if the person doing things which involve Bechira are the product of a different force. Obviously, Bechira demands that it's the product of the person's Bechira. And nothing else is swaying the person. Nothing else is making him do that. There's no spiritual force originating in Shemayim, because we'll see later the physics of what he's saying. There's no spiritual force. There's a spiritual force in Shemayim that is the equivalent of raining. When it's Meshtal Shel Lamata, it's rain. There's a physical force in Shemayim that involves this airplane crashing. The airplane crashes. There's no physical force l'mala that is the source of Reuven stealing from Shimon. That is the source of Reuven harming Shimon. That is the source of Reuven talking lashon hara about Shimon. That starts down here. When Hashem wants a person to have free will, he means free will, totally. There's no spiritual force that's telling him what to do.
But there's a spiritual force for Shimon being robbed?
Yes, I guess that's more complicated. Because anything that's not Bechira is now Hashem maneuvers that Shimon will be robbed. But who will rob him is a matter of Bechira. Just like we said about Mitzrayim. It was a saying that the Jews should be the Eretz Lo Lahem, Avamei Oshana, and Paro stepped up to the plate and chose. It is very, very complex. no matter which way you turn, because then you don't have to have a self. You say, well, the person really only chooses, he doesn't really do anything. The doing is already Hashem. The whole Mechira takes place in the mind when you choose. But again, it's okay, but Achaponim, this is the exception. A person's choice, and again I stress, of good or evil, of Tov and Ra, Mitzvah Saveiros call it, does not have anything acting upon it. Now, again, it's going to be very complicated, because if anybody here has heard of a Mitzvah Aliyos, Mekudus HaBechira, so there are things that happen in Shemayim which create the playing field for my Bechira. Where I'm born, what kind of parents I'm born to, who my neighbors were, these are things I don't choose. They set up the, so that's according to the mystical Yom, at least, they set up the parameters of my Bechira. If I, right now, if I don't struggle with Shmira Shabbos, I don't struggle with Chil Shabbos, so that's what the Mishnah Mayel says, I don't have Bechira on that anymore. So that is happening because Hashem chose that I be born in a certain century, in a certain year, certain parents, I don't know what to do with that decision. I grew up in a certain environment, and this is all, again, the forces in Shemayim. So, and that's what the Mishnah Mayel's point is. But when I do have to be Bocher, my Bechira I'm going to bench Chanukah, I'm going to do it in the proper way, in the ideal way, that affects, so that is my Bechira totally. But you always have the circumstances which create the Bechira. That's what the Mishnah Maliyot says. That's why the Mishnah Maliyot is so valuable to understand this better. Because I don't struggle, let's say, with Chil Shabbos. I don't struggle, let's say, with a cheeseburger. I don't struggle to put on tefillin every morning. That's not Bechira. I'm not. But that's scary. It means, well, that's the whole Mishnah Maliyot is very scary. It means much of what I do is not really going to affect the spiritual realms, because that's not my Bechira. But that's already, that's the Mishnah Eliyahu, and that we have to struggle to understand the Mishnah Eliyahu, and can it be true that I will go through my whole life putting on tefillin, and I will not get, you know, there's very little reward for it. I can't say no reward. I could have rebelled and went off to Berach, sold my tefillin for drugs, and, you know, but it's not as much higher as a Bal Tshuvah, who has to put on tefillin every day, and it never fit into the schedule for him. He just found out about it. Now he has to make a conscious decision. So you say, well, then isn't it better to be a Bal Tshuvah? In some ways it is, but in some ways it's not, because the Bal Tshuvah has to spend a lot of energy for basics. Well, the achrayus of a, let's say, from birth person is, let's say, to have the right kavano because of tefillah. That's much, takes a lot more energy to have the kavanos in taking challah. We'll talk about women in relating to the mitzvah of mezuzah, to tzniyus. It takes a lot more energy to do it properly and to do it on a higher level. But we don't know. See, we don't know. Hashem knows how much energy. Maybe it's taking the Baal Tshuva more energy just to get up in the morning and say Shema Yisrael than it is for me to have the right kavana in Shema Yisrael. I don't know which is more energy. Right? That's Hashem knows. Hashem knows which is more energy. Okay, but we're getting off the point of the Ramchal. It's important to know his main point. His main point is that thing, there's a rope. This is how the Nefesh HaChaim describes it also. There's a rope, a chain, between the highest of highest spiritual forces reaching up to the Kisei HaKavod, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, coming down to this can of soda at the end of the wink, and coming down to my drinking disorder, well, events and things, and what's in Shemayim controls what's Ba'aretz, except for Bechira. Except for Bechira, things that a person does where he or she is the source of goodness. Why should I say Tillum if there's a war? Ah, but that's a Bechira. That's a Bechira. I'm choosing to do a good deed. I'm choosing to turn to Hashem in my hour, in Klal Yisrael's hour of need. I'm choosing to make a declaration that it's dependent on Hashem, who's going to win. And that's what you, so I'm creating the schusr. So I'm yanking the chain down here. And as I said, Rav Chaim is about to describe it. The chain is the same chain, but the vector goes this way instead of that way. It goes up and then it comes down again, because I can only affect the physical world. I can only go into a shul, take out a tulip and say it for 15-20 minutes. So that yanks the chain and creates positive spiritual forces, and then it comes back down again to translate into victory on the battlefield. As it goes up and down. It's not just that most things go down and Bechira goes up. Bechira goes up and then down. Because my Bechira to daven good or to learn an extra half hour or to give more tzedakah or to do chesed, that doesn't have in this world the result of victory on the battlefield. The only reason it has that result is because it goes up and creates positive spiritual change in Shemayim, and that's the Chiddush of Bechira that Ram Chal is saying, where mankind controls the spiritual forces that run the universe. We control it. But it works both ways, though. There's like a very depressing description in the Nefesh HaChayim, who has this Saint Yisod, about who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. You know, we destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, not Titus. So that our actions went off and came down as titles. Yeah.
At what age does the
Bechira
of the person in this world affect the Shemayim? When does it start? What? Or mitzvah? Is it an infant?
Well, it's either the 13 or 20. It's third now. Everything is very complicated. What's bothering you really?
No, I'm wondering. Like,
well, we know that a 13-year-old is responsible for his actions. You know that a 13-year-old, when there's a Beis Din, will get malchus for eating something not kosher.
If a 3-year-old does a mitzvah.
Meaningless. The schar of the parent for training him because it's a mitzvah schinuch.
There's some saying about the prayers of children or like answered in Shemayim or something that Hashem really listens to them.
Okay, but that's tefillah. That's not because it's a mitzvah. It's not because you're doing a good deed. Hashem created a spiritual force called tefillah, because you're right, that's tefillah, that's special, you know, that's tefillah. I maybe I should have said it's meaningless. I would have said it's meaningful because of the adult training of the child. In other words, it's objectively a weapon, and it's pure, and it's with good kavana. But again, I say it's not the mitzvah shebo, it's the tefillah. So I don't know how to answer your question. It's either 20 or 13. And also it changes, you know. A 20-year-old immature kid, right? I used to think it was very old, and now I realize how immature and young a 20-year-old is. Right? So he doesn't affect as much as a 60-year-old mevugar. So you increase your power of being able to, and then the tzaddik is somehow able, or you, if you believe these, we read these Hasidic stories, that the tzaddik can reach up into Shemayim and affect things without going through the whole bureaucracy of mitzvahs. He could just reach up, so to speak, and maneuver. But the principle is still the same. There's still a principle that without the Ramchal's linked chain, he couldn't do it. Who said that a person can affect what goes on in Shemayim? we're so low and we're so we're just the recipients of what happens. Who said we can affect things? So you still need the Ramchal's picture of mitzvahs and bechira to create the picture that man, woman, mankind can affect what happens in Shemayim and thus affect what comes back down again. And then you read these stories that the tzaddik could fall asleep or could just daven and could, you know, affect, you know, he can change the Gezeira through his whatever. So, you know, those are the stories that once when you read those stories, so it's not simple. Let's say, they're true. But they're true because of this Ramchal. This is because the principle is it shouldn't be skeptical about the story because the system is there. The system is there for every Pashat Yid. His actions down here will affect what's going on in Shemayim. The chiddush of those stories is that, like, they do it sometimes without mitzvahs. They just do it.
Also, when we do it, we have no control over the effect. We just say give tzedakah, and it has some effect. Maybe we see it, maybe we never do. But like a sage could say, like he could direct how it's going to come down. That to me is
according
the
to the
big
stories.
Difference.
Yeah, according to the stories. You're right. That's another difference. Even though many times the Gemara does tell us, you know, see, tefillah is like the a universal plug. What's it called? The universal
plug.
Universal
charger.
Yeah. So tefillah is a universal. Right? Maybe when I do chesed, or when I do tzedakah, or when I put on tefillin, so I can't direct it. There's a universal. Tefillah is universal. So everybody has that power. If I can't direct it, but I can do something that's a universal plug. Universal charger. Okay. So that's the exception. And the way he puts it is very beautiful. It's an exception because Hashem wants free will to be free. Doesn't want anything affecting your bechira. Even according to Mr. Meliel, that statement is way too broad. There's so many things affect your bechira. Where you were born, who your parents were, where you went to school, where your friends were. But that's the point of Mr. Meliel. They don't really affect your bechira. They affect which is to be the playing field of your bechira. That's what it affects, according to Mr. Meliel. They are so multi-tolid with them as well. So he's not at all dependent on anything else. But Adarabba, and on the contrary, you're in charge. Moshe lo kolach, lios meinia, to move, to be the shaker. Literally, you're holding this end of the rope and you're shaking the rope. It's like the puppet comes alive, like in Pinocchio, right? The guy's puppeteering and he's pulling strings and the puppet's dancing, and all of a sudden the puppet comes alive and dances whatever dance he wants to dance, and someone looking will still see the strings moving and the puppet dancing, but now the puppet is moving the string, not the strings moving the puppet. That's what Ramchal saying. In your soul, he told him to say, "Zulaso, the Adirab, and Nosul Koach, Leos Menia, the Olam." Either forever or for the world. Atzmo v'libriyosof. Kimashi yitzchar v'chetzo. Now this is heavy stuff because this affects every moment of my life. This affects everything I do, every bracha I make, every tefillah I do, every chesed I do. Which is like, you know, this is heavy stuff. This is born around the Kabbalistic. I mean, this whole system that the real forces in the world are ruchnius. And they're the ones really creating things, and they're the ones really responsible for what happens. With the exception of Bechir, which was up. Now, this is very I don't know what word to use other than Kabbalistic. I don't know, I'm not sure it would be called Kabbalistic, but it's a very deep spiritual understanding of the forces of the world. It's a whole new look. That's what Ramchal said of himself, that he was given a task in Shemayim to come reveal this to people. As I said, I could see the benefit of these revelations. Because, first of all, when the Ramchal lived in the 1600s, or whatever, as people started becoming privy to the sophisticated physical world, physics was exploding, electricity, magnetic forces, chemistry, astronomy, all as, so you say, oh, I know why that happened, because the Ramchal was unlocking the secrets of the spiritual world. And then the ripple effect, so it's not that scientists were smart and they figured that is what happened, but it's a reaction at the other end of the chain. At the end of the chain, the Ramchal is given permission, or the Baba Tanya, or the Zohar was discovered. I mean, well, that was much earlier. The Zohar was discovered at one point in time. So you have the Zohar, let's say, and I'm not being didactic in history now. You have the Zohar, the Baba Tanya, and the Nefesh HaChayim, and the Ramchal, the Baal Shem Tov, you know, and they're revealing these things, so one imagines that these revelations are revelations of Shemayim, of spirituality. And that caused the Industrial Revolution, that caused the explosion of scientific knowledge that we're still reeling from today. I mean, and if you want to take a glimpse of it, if you know, women are not as familiar with the world of Svarim and Torah as men are. But there's a veritable explosion on every topic in Torah is now like revealed and opened up, and there's Kaddish Yerim all over, and there's Nachman Breslov, and this is really, you know, so it's not even just concurrent with the explosion of scientific knowledge. It's extremely likely that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's, this means nothing to you, but it means a lot to me, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's innovation and creativity and exposing of the world of Torah had its ripple effect on Einstein, who revealed the secrets of the physical universe. And if Rav Chaim made past theories moot, so maybe Einstein made Newton moot. And it's all maybe, I can see how it's part of this chain that he's describing. It's not a coincidence. Not like Hashem made Freud, you know, opened up the secrets of the mind, and it was also Lanta, opened it up on a spiritual level. So it could be that caused that the spirit, the ripple effect of Yisrael Salanta's Or Yisrael, or Kol Feor, or the Svarim that he wrote, or the Talmidim he established, that showed the power of the subconscious on a spiritual level, and the power of, you know, really delving into one's motivation and like, you know, saying, wow, you know, I never realized I'm really jealous. That's what's making me act that way. I'm really jealous of that person. We do not have Michel Solanta's training people to do, to realize the subtleties that are all the time going on in a person's head, how complicated it is. So it's very likely, you know, that the ripple effect of that is the whole chachma of psychiatry and psychology and therapy, where people are learning how to expose their inner selves and make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, more like on a secular level, so to speak. But it happened first on the spiritual level. Maybe, you know, we don't do a little speculation. leave it for bigger people to write about that and to show the link. But it's not ludicrous, it's not crazy. It's like the Ramchal, according to Ramchal, it's like Aleph Beis. Yeah, yeah, that's how the world runs. That's how it happens. So there are two-lane highway. Watch out. You gotta make a barrier. Traffic's going both ways. There's traffic going both ways from up, I'll say Shemayim, but Shemayim is part of the physical world. There's traffic going both ways. So Achas Tidus Mukrachas. And one, we have no say in the matter. What happens, happens. And we accept it. It happens to us. Vashniya Bechirius. And the other one is our choice. Achas Nolamala Lamata. One traffic is going down. The other one shooting up. Hamukrachas, what's mukra, what has to happen. It's not totally anybody's choice. The atnua, the movement. Which we have no say in the matter. Just in that dynamic. I would say the matter could be, if we do mitzvahs already, we could do it with the next year. But first you have this, that's what's going from up to down. The ripple is happening that way. The choice, what I'm doing because of my choices. Now he just tells you that don't think it has to go up and then down. That's what he's going to say now. Because I can't bring victory on a battlefield by putting on tzitzis. There's no connection here. So it has to go up, 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 and then down, 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 down. I can't do anything beyond Gashmius, I can't do anything beyond putting on a pair of tzitzis. I can't tell the malachim what to do. Maybe certain tzaddikim could know those stories, but I can't tell malachim what to do. I can only put on tzitzis and hope. Ki odom gashmi, myself gashmiim. Avonei hakeke, but the links are there. The chain is there. The rope is there. So there's something connecting people to the spiritual forces in Shemayim. So I could yank the chain too, because the chain is there. I will never have Keshe Vahed, Starfus, the connection. Shanitzum in the Kochus of Yorub Hagashmiyim, he may be his Noeya Hagashmi. When I move the rope down here, the chain down here, and here the Hedrich and Spalus, and the Kochus of Yorub, I give spiritual strength to the Malach who is in charge of good things happening to Bnei Yisrael. I just gave him a super drink, a power drink. So it first goes up. It has to go up because down here it's very limited. I can only do what I can do down here. Which goes from up to down, which is a chayim. But realize, it's not like every choice a person makes, everything a person does, it goes this way. Only Bechira of Tov and Ra. And according to the Mishnah Meleon, not even every Bechira of Tov and Ra. Because many of my Bechiras are not really Bechiras. Okay, I just threw that in because just to see the whole picture. Someone wrote a sefer. Someone tell him Chacham and Munchi wrote a sefer arguing with the Mishnah Meleon. So the Ilma Yeshivas has accepted the Mishnah Meleon's point as being extremely logical and true. But this person wrote a sefer and he asks a lot of kashas on the Mishnah Meleon, and he has his own approach to all these things. He's alive today. He's a fellow of the Munchi, a former chavrus of mine, and he wrote a sefer called the Bacharta Bachayim. And he actually attacks the Mechta Melio and he says it's impossible that most of our deeds are not even in the playing field of Bechira, and he explains things a little differently. Mm-hmm. So So it's very, so I keep saying Mechon Aleil as if it's Torah Misinai, and where, you know, people have learned it at one point or another in their lives, or they heard it with the Kudos HaBechira. So I want to say it's not the Torah Misinai. We want Torah Shetena. But you have to know, you got more than Masa. You call Masa Bechira, not everything is free will. He's not talking about, you're not talking about the Fidelio now. He's not discussing that. He's talking about things happen to me that are not the product of my free will, but are the product of Hashem, someone's yanking the chain of Shemayim. When I slip and fall, it's not my choice. It happened in Shemayim. So it's not everything about a person is the chain going this way. It's only my Bechira. And I add to that, only Tov and Ra is Bechira. I will yesh you mitzad mit Bechira also, v'yesh achem shi yasov eivu ha mitzad gzeru al yona, the Sechara alone show. I'm supposed to get sick, I'm supposed to get rich, I'm supposed to find some money, I'm supposed to have a nuchas nefesh, I'm supposed to be stressed, I'm supposed to be anxious, I'm supposed to feel pain. Everything in a person's life. And not everything is me, and it goes up and down. Sometimes, maybe even most of the time, a person also is a helpless puppet with things happening to him or her. The promotion of Orban Bekomo, he'll be explaining that later in the Sefer of Vit, Siyata Dishmaya. And for those things that he is just the puppet, he is like everything else. The movement is going down, down escalator. Well, it depends. It's complicated. You don't always have to feel the struggle. And the Mishnah Eliyahu also points out, if I